The efficiency of machines. These are a couple of silly little poems here that I put at the beginning. Your bicycle is powered by sandwiches, all makes of parts the same. You soup it up with manwiches just to impress a dame. And here's another one. Have you ever considered just how important it is to the environment to have machines made of generic parts that fit all makes and models, and how harmful it is to create things of fashion? Well, that was actually prose. All the old English motorcycles, and there was a bundle of them in the day, Valisette, AJS, Matchless, Norton, Triumph, BSA, Vincent, Bro, James, Francis Barnett, Ariel, Rudge, and others, all had a wide variety of parts in common. All only used three wheel rims known as WM 1, 2, and 3. The 125cc to 200cc bikes used a 1 on the front and a 2 on the back. The larger bikes used a 2 on the front and a 3 on the back. All carbs, well, most of them, were made by Amel and were leaky as heck. All the wiring systems were powered by only one manufacturer. There were only two battery sizes, and almost all transmissions were made by Berman, and only in two sizes with just a few gear choices. One seat fit on any English bike, and the headlamps were all Lucas. When the Hondas came out, they didn't even have the same condenser in all bikes, and a condenser is a minute part about the size of a thimble and does exactly the same thing on every application with exactly the same power. The average Honda shop couldn't even carry all the batteries to fit in the models of one single year because they were all different. A 50cc domestic bike had a different size and shape battery from a 50cc sport bike, and all the batteries gave out exactly the same power. 12 volts. When Honda got into cars, they had as many as 4 major body changes within a single model year, meaning that a door from a 75 Honda Civic may or may not fit onto another 75 Civic. Naturally, they had a bundle of tripe that the factory touted to explain the cause of these discrepancies. It was something about the cottage industry factory in Japan, yada yada yada. The fact was that the Japanese had figured out the profit margin of planned obsolescence, and they probably got it from the American light bulb manufacturers. The first light bulb ever made is still in a museum someplace and still works, but the incandescent light bulb industry has never been able to figure out how to make a light bulb last any longer than a year, ever since Davy, Swan, Edison, Whitney, and Coolidge did it in 02. Computers have a wonderful side that makes every hacker, well, I was going to say hard, but happy, because the makers have never been able to conceive a method of making computer electronics self-destruct. They can make them obsolete by bringing out a 6-gig model when everybody has just finished buying a 5-gigger, but that's no big deal. For some reason, all computer parts, and there really are only about 6 to 10 of them, are all the same regardless of make or model. All the internal cables fit every single machine on the market, and I'm only talking about PCs and not the other gadgets that could be called computers. There are exceptions to what I'm saying all through this discussion, but generally speaking, there is only one hard drive, one floppy drive, a generic CD-ROM, and DVD drive, a variety of motherboards with all the same cable connectors, an ATX or ATX mini box for all this junk, and even the power supplies have never changed. This is great considering what could have happened. Honda could have been the inventor of the PC and made 113 models in the first year without even one screw that fit another machine. Instead, Bill Gates was a hacker at heart and somehow kept the industry from even making 2 models of the ubiquitous floppy drive. Also, To fix Billy's wonderful machine, you need a complete toolkit that consists solely of one Phillips screwdriver. On some, you also need a very large hammer, but then I digress. How much extra truck transportation is required when companies collude to deliberately cause the standards to be shoddy? How much gas and diesel fuel was put up into our atmosphere by the light bulb industry's unnecessary transportation needs before the energy-efficient 5-year fluorescent bulbs put these criminals out of business? How much longer are we going to put up with car companies producing throwaways that work great for 10 years and then wind up in the landfill?